Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dr. John Furia in a few minutes. Talk about concussions. The movie's coming out Christmas Day. So we're just a mere 10 days away from the movie coming out that the NFL's supposed to be very nervous about. We're not going to have John review the movie, but we'll talk about the issue. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. In a game where Odell Beckham caught two touchdown passes, including one for 84 yards, Kevin picked a play-by-play call of the team that lost.
Giants coming on a blitz. Dolphins pick it up. Tannehill all the time in the world. Downfield. Sealed. Got it. Turn. Is he into the end zone?
He got it. Touchdown.
All right. He tipped over the last 2 yards. They gave it to him. It's O'Kenny steals from Tannehill. A 47-yard strike.
And my old friend Jimmy Cephalo with the call on the Dolphins radio network last night.
And that's why I picked it.
The Dolphins lost.
I know.
Odell Beckham scored from 84 yards out.
I know, but we've never done a Jimmy Cephalo cut, so that fellow was only right.
That's fine. Jimmy's great. I personally like Jimmy a lot. He's guest lectured in my class before, and I've known him for, I don't know, 35 years, something like that. Okay. Time now to talk about one of the truly serious issues of our day. If not, probably not one that's more serious than this. That's concussions. Dr. John Furia joins us once again. Doctor, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor. It's great to be on. Great to be in the presence or virtual presence of such superb individuals.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Let's get to the issue at hand. Let's go with the basics. Explain to the layperson, what is a concussion?
Yeah, concussion. Concussion is a temporary dysfunction of the central nervous system, particularly the brain. Usually it's a result of blunt trauma, so a hard impact to the brain causes the brain to temporarily shut off. And symptoms include, you know, dizziness and loss of perspective. Affect becomes altered, and with time, headaches develop. We used to go at great lengths to classify and grade concussions, but really that's become old school. Now it's more like yes, no, because if it's a yes, we act, and if it's no, then of course we defer.
Is it possible to bruise the brain?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've learned that from the boxing literature way back in the day. When the skull is impacted with a force, the brain itself sits in a bit of fluid, and it can shift its relative position from front to back. So picture the brain being this soft structure surrounded by this hard shell and covered with fluid. The brain itself can slide forward and backward and be contused by the back and the front of the skull. And that's what happens with a boxing injury or in a blunt traumatic event. When the skull is hit, the brain actually shifts its relative position, impacts something hard, the skull, causes an injury, contusion, and alteration in central nervous system function.
I know Dr. Margaret Batukian here for years when she was at Penn State. She's no longer here, but did a lot of concussion research. I'm going back 20 years now. And something that she told me in her research was that once you get a concussion the first time, you are far more susceptible for 2 and 3. What are some of the percentages of getting another concussion once you've had the first one?
Well, sure, it goes into double figures for sure. Margot's research was considered some of the benchmark work in this area. And it's shown that once you've had one injury, the brain itself is more likely to be susceptible to repetitive blunt trauma in on the order of double figures.
This goes back to a basketball example, and I want to go back maybe about 15, 20 years. Penn State had a basketball player, I'm not going to get into names here, had a couple of concussions, finally had been cleared, went back out there into practice, and got grazed, maybe slightly more than grazed, and suddenly had no memory for a week, which would have been his third concussion.
Yep.
Discuss how that happens, where it doesn't take much to then have it happen.
Right, that's an excellent point. So that's called retrograde amnesia. So you don't remember the events immediately prior to the injury, but you can remember things like where you live, your phone number, what city you're from. But you lose recall of the game, what you're doing on a certain play in football, or what was occurring during the basketball game, and it's the result of repetitive micro trauma. So. I was an endurance athlete my whole life. And if you overuse an ankle or a joint, that particular structure becomes more prone to injury because it can only take so many reps or so many cycles. The same is true with the brain. The brain's just another organ. And it can only be hit so many times without sustaining some permanent damage. Indeed, that's the whole etiology or the cause of the punch-drunk boxer. So if you perform serial neurological examinations on boxers in various stages of their careers, you can see a progression over time in which their performance on cognitive testing and reflexes and so forth gradually deteriorates, and it's correlated to the number of times they've been hit. It's not the number of rounds, it's not the number of the fights, it's the number of times they've been hit.
And I remember for about a week, all of us had to repeatedly introduce ourselves to him. And I'll never forget the day where I looked at him and I said, I'll not mention his name. And he looked at me and goes,
sure.
Hi, Steve. And he acted as if it was one of the truly great moments because he knew who I was.
And that's something. Yeah, so that's you. So the brain can recover just like anything else. The trouble is it's slow. It's slow and it's not always complete, and it's a bit frustrating for the athlete, and certainly for the physician. And we feel powerless when we have these patients who are now grade one concussion, what was considered to be a grade one concussion, the so-called get your bell rung. And that's happened. I was a wrestler in school and was dropped on my head more than once, and I had some episodes where I blacked out and functioned with that grade one concussion. Better example. The more recent mixed martial arts fighter, Ronda Rousey,
yep.
Rousey, I'm pretty certain she sustained a grade one. I'm not the medical doctor, so taking care of her. But from what I understand and from what I've been reading and from the way she acted in the fight, I think she probably did have was concussed in that first round. And if you see her fight in the second round and so forth, her reflexes and her affect just wasn't the fighter that we had seen in the past.
What kind of step forward, in your opinion, is that the NFL has an independent monitor looking at this? I think the Big Ten is going in this direction as well. Mm-hmm. What do you think that means to the care of the athlete?
Well, first of all, I think it's going to really change the game, no question about it. And it already has changed the game. And for the classic board answer on a recertification test from orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine doctor was grade one concussions. Once the patients are cleared in 10 or 15 minutes, we let them play. That's changed over the last 3 to 4 years or so, where the correct answer is now those people sit. And so you're going to be seeing athletes that, 3, 4, 5 years ago would have been returned to play are now being kept out on the sidelines. And it's going to open up a huge can of worms, as you're already seeing. And I guess there was a comment by the NFL perhaps an inappropriate remark by the NFL commissioner the other day. But we're going to be seeing a lot more of this. It's going to become the country is going to have heightened attention, and the regulatory bodies are going to have heightened attention in this year because. The medical facts are now clear. I mean, we really can show cause and effect.
How different are the medical facts about concussions today compared to even 10 years ago? How far have we advanced in 10 years?
Yeah, great question. Great question. So a significant amount. Our technology's improved. We have CAT scans and enhanced MRI scans that will show detail to the brain that never existed 10 years ago. So that's the scientific evidence. In addition, we've developed cognitive studies that can be given to athletes, and this is the trend. When the freshmen report, they get their baseline cognitive test, and then if they have an injury at any point throughout their career, they can be retested, and we can compare the results and see if there's been a drop-off or a change. And that it has been shown to have diagnostic value. So our tools, you know, the tools in our toolbox have really increased dramatically over the last 10 years. Completely different game.
Dr. John Furrier joining us. John, I know when I've watched players go through concussion protocol here, I know that they take the baseline test. But once they pass the baseline test, they then have to pass here a physical test. So the players hate the physical test. What does the physical test then tell you? Just by riding a bike, 15, 20, 25 minutes, what can that tell you in terms of the recovery from a concussion?
Yeah, so exactly. So that's exactly what we do. Is we give them relative rest. We try to avoid things like anything stressful. We try to put their brains at rest. So even before we get them on a bike, we have them avoid video. A lot of athletes in college they put video games and puzzles or whatever. We bench them from that. Keep them away from anything that's going to require their brains to really, be utilized. So we want their brain to rest for a little bit. Once they've cleared that part for a couple of days or so, then we get to have them start doing some light aerobic exercise, walking, stationary bike, whatever. We see how they respond. If they clear, then we progress some, next step, maybe perhaps some light impact type activities or a bit more aggressive non or low impact activities. If they don't progress, if they get headache, if they feel a bit dizzy, they feel they're quite not as sharp, then we keep them at that stage for a bit. And it's a slow progress. And it's also hard for the coaching staffs and the trainers. They're looking at these great athletes or athletes are in phenomenal shape, and they're not playing because their brains aren't working well. It's a different feeling. It's one thing when someone has an injury to a knee or a shoulder that's sort of empiric and there's loss of motion, easy to measure. But it's another thing when it's cognitive skills.
John, why is it that there have been some athletes that will tell you later, I don't remember anything about the game, which obviously means they had some level of concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it
mm-hmm.
they can still function?
Yeah, great. As I said, retrograde amnesia we talked about just a little bit.
Okay.
So,
that's what it is.
Amnesia. Yeah, there is post-traumatic amnesia where you forget everything, where you forget where you're from, where you live, where you can't do serial sevens, you can't perform simple cognitive type events. That's a much more significant injury. And then there's something called retrograde amnesia, where you have all your background information. You know your mom is, where you were born, you're living in the United States. You might know you're playing a football game, but you might forget who you're playing, or you're an offensive lineman, who you're supposed to block on the play, or what happened on the play. Did we score? You lose those short-term events. It's as if the circuitry was short-circuited at that moment, and all those data points were lost. And then you reboot the computer, reboot the system, and it starts to function again.
National soccer, when it comes to under 13, they don't want, and have said they don't want players heading a soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough of a force to injure a young brain? And is it easier to injure a young brain as opposed to an older one?
Right. So it's easier to injure a younger brain than an older one. And whether that's enough, that's hard to say. I don't think I have reviewed the data, and I certainly can't comment with certainty regarding that. I know that that's been a movement. To know that there's a trend, I suspect that there's good data to support it. But I'll be honest, I'm not real familiar with that.
What about injuring the younger brain, though, versus an older brain? Is it easier, and why? Is it the same as, look, I've injured a knee, I'm young, and I'm still growing, thus it may create problems? Is that the same concept as with a brain?
Yeah, well, we don't know for sure, but the thought process is, yes, it is. It's more easy to injure, quicker to recover in many instances, because there's ongoing remodeling, right? Those circuitry, all those circuits haven't all been formed at this stage. You know, the brain is still evolving, the brain is still growing, pathways are being molded. It's one of the reasons why you learn so well. You're in like sponge mode when you're young, but then as you get older, it's more difficult to learn. It takes more. You have to learn by more repetition as opposed to forming new pathways. So the term is plasticity. Plasticity. The brains are more plastic when patients are younger, which facilitates recovery. But also, because patients are younger, they're certainly more prone to lower forces can yield worse results, you know, more trauma.
Obviously, you can you play basketball, you may catch an elbow. If you're playing hockey, you can absorb a check. In baseball, you could be hit by a pitch, or somebody swings a leg on a play and accidentally hits you as you're trying to break up a double play, whatever. But football is the primary focus, especially with the movie coming out. If I'm Roger Goodell and I bring you into my office and I say, look, the floor is open to me. Give me some recommendations that is going to help us. What would you recommend if you had that audience?
Ah, great. So first of all, I'd recommend that there be a multidisciplinary, not one, but a multidisciplinary committee, sort of like a team, that would evaluate all, that would sort of be the referee, the regulatory bodies for these injuries. Because here's why. There's a bit of a subjective component to whether or not a patient has or has not received a concussion. Are they dizzy from being dehydrated? Are they dizzy from the last hit? Are they a little disoriented from, you know, whatever, a rough night last night? Or are they disoriented because of some impact injury? And so I think that you need more than just a neurologist, you need more than just an orthopedic surgeon, you need more than just a primary care physician. You need several people. So that would be my first recommendation, is you don't make like a one physician czar, because that physician may not be qualified in all these areas. I think you make it more of a committee. Maybe you have a chairperson or whatever, but I think it should be three or four people, and they should be people of different skill sets, a neuropsychiatrist, maybe a neurosurgeon, a primary care physician, an orthopedist, someone with experience in exercise physiology. I think it should be a team as opposed to one. So that would be one of my recommendations. Two, I would impress upon the commissioner that this is a serious event. Shouldn't be joking about it, huh? It's a serious issue. I mean, these players only, you know, their window of opportunity I'm sympathetic to a lot of the players. It's not like, you know, I have a 25 to 30 year career as a orthopedic surgeon. Those guys, you know, the mean age is that the mean time in the bigs is under 4 years. So they got to make their career, that's their livelihood for 3 or 4 years. They have an injury like this, it's a serious event for them. A lot of money on the table, a lot of ramifications as one moves forward. So it's not a laughing matter for these players. So I'd impress upon them the serious nature of it also. And I would encourage foundations and, you know, the NFL in particular to support institutions, or whether they be private or for profit or whatever, that are pursuing modalities to try to fine tune the way we treat this condition, because it's ever prevalent. And what the NFL does is going to be adopted by all the other leagues. It's just a matter of time.
Exactly. I can't begin to tell you how much we appreciated the information and the open, honest answers that I think a lot of people need to hear. As always, an absolute pleasure on our part and a great learning experience. Thank you, John.
Pleasure is mine. You all have wonderful holidays.
You have a great holiday, too. Thank you. Dr. John Furia. Wow. Kev, that was a learning experience, I think, for a lot of people.
You know, this is something, as Dr. Furia just said, is evolving day by day anymore with what they're finding.
Yeah.
Bloomsburg University right now, this summer, started a testing program, and I know they had some volunteers from Danville and also Berwick, as well as Bloom U players. They started a two-part system. They have a virtual reality system that they test memory, reaction time, and balance, and that's what they take as their baseline. And they also have a component there to test the visual and inner ear and neuromuscular feedback. And they're using both of those now when a concussion happens to try and decide when a player is ready to come back. And this is a very interesting study. It'll be I look forward to hearing from Joe Hazard at Bloomsburg University on what they find throughout this last few months.
And Dr. John Furrier, of course, from Sun Orthopedic at Evangelical. We appreciate it so much. We'll come back with more in a moment. Kevin tells you which bowl games he will watch and which ones he will bag in the final half hour, one of our more popular segments of the year, because he determines viewing habits. He is the voice of the fan on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Santa, all of these wish lists say they want a new Kia.
No worries, Jingle. It's the Holidays Hot Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see ya in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia can fill everyone's wish list with a new Kia. It's Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until May.
You heard right, May.
Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Sportages, Souls, and Fortes. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So go ahead, overspend on presents for the family, because you'll still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible price.
And not have to make a payment until May.
The holidays are on us.
At Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, retailer, or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Now, we could have gone with the Dallas Cowboys again. Their new protocol in the preseason, forget it. Larry Brown, whom I will see next week in Las Vegas, because he'll be off suspension and coaching SMU again, said today he could turn around the Philadelphia 76ers in 5 minutes. You couldn't turn around the Philadelphia 76ers in five decades. I think Larry Brown is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant coach. I think it would take more than 5 minutes. Wow. Now, this is a guy who got the Clippers to the playoffs when it was hard to get the Clippers to the playoffs. This is the guy who got the Charlotte Bobcats, now the Hornets, to the playoffs. Not easy. He's brilliant. But it takes a lot more than 5 minutes to turn around the Philadelphia 76ers. That is not a five-minute proposition. Our sports bozo of the day. And now, for our bowl viewing guide. The bowl games, this being the 15th, begin in a mere 4 days. The number of people that have come up to me in the last few days and said, what games will Kevin be watching?
Have been three.
No, a lot. They want to know, because you are truly the voice of the fan. You are the heartbeat of the Valley, sports-wise.
Well, the first thing is, I don't know how I'm supposed to watch two games that actually kick off at the same time. That's poor planning.
You flip back and forth on the remote between the game. I don't care if you watch a few plays.
I mean, I do have picture-in-picture. I mean, I do have that capability. But it's very distracting.
It's also a 90-inch screen, so your picture-in-picture is still about 10 inches.
Well, as somebody was telling me the other, you got picture-in-picture and you have red zone, don't you? Yeah. Well, why don't you split the screen? I said, well, that's great until they go to quad box on red zone. It makes it a little difficult to see any of those four pictures.
Yes. Okay, by the way, Kent Summers, Arizona Republic, we're going to have him on the show Friday. Also Friday, we're going to have a beat writer from the Denver Post. So we're going to talk about Eagles and Cardinals from the Cardinal perspective, Broncos and Steelers from the Broncos perspective. You know, we always have people on that cover Philadelphia, cover Pittsburgh. Now let's flip it around and get a feel for, quote, the other guy. Kevin is confused.
No, I'm just thinking there, you know, I was going back to the bowl schedule. I mean, other than the Tax Slayer Bowl, there is one must-see game.
Well, here we go. Let's start out. The first one is not really a bowl game, but they'll call it one anyway. It's the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. It's Alcorn State against North Carolina A&T.
I'll watch that one.
I knew it.
But I'm an FCS guy, so that doesn't count. I mean, you know,
What do you know about either one of these teams?
Well, I know I've had North Carolina A&T in my top 25 for most of the year.
I mean, Alcorn State's 9-3. They're not bad.
I had them in my top 25 as well.
And it's the inaugural Celebration Bowl.
The what?
We love it. The inaugural
Okay.
Celebration Bowl.
Oh, I thought that was a sponsor of the bowl for a minute there.
No, the sponsor of the bowl is the Air Force. That's why they call it the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. It's at the Georgia Dome. That's at noon. Then we get into the real bowl season. The Gilden New Mexico Bowl in Albuquerque will feature Arizona, Rich Rodriguez's team, against Bob Davies' New Mexico Lobos playing on their home field.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Two West teams. Doesn't interest me.
What?
Just telling you. And you missed one. You missed the Cure Bowl.
That's because it's in terms of chronological order, they're not up yet.
Oh, see, I thought that kicked off at noon as well on the 19th.
Oh, it's just my head starting to pound. All
well,
right.
Then my schedule is incorrect.
And that makes it an average day. All right, so
I'm not going to watch that one either, but it doesn't really matter.
But I would probably watch a little bit of that. Now, part of my issue is going to be travel, and I've got a lot of it over the next 2 weeks. I've got about, 8,000 miles, something like that. I'll watch a little bit of that. Then at 3:30 on ABC Saturday, BYU Utah in the Las Vegas Bowl.
I may watch that.
Yeah, but they're two Western teams.
Yeah, but Utah, I like watching Utah, and I don't get a chance to see BYU like ever. So
they're two Western. Can you at least be consistent with your standard?
Listen, there's no consistency to my standard. I'm the first to admit it. I have no interest in Arizona, New Mexico. They're both West teams, and they don't interest me. I see Arizona every now and then. It's okay. I see New Mexico every now and then.
Where do you think Utah and BYU are?
I don't see them very often because they're not on channels that I get.
Oh, jeez. The Raycon Media Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama, as Ohio University against Appalachian State at 5:30 Saturday.
I watched that. I like App State in that, too.
Okay, they went 10-2 this year. Let's see. The Cure Bowl is on CBS Sportsnet, San Jose State, Georgia State at 7 o'clock.
No.
I have a game with Drexel at that time. R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Arkansas State, Louisiana Tech, 9 o'clock.
The only reason I watch that is because I want to see what R&L Carriers is all about. I mean, do they make aircraft carriers or something?
No, it's a trucking company.
Oh, well, now I'm not going to watch it. Now that I know what it is, forget it. Now I'm not
You see them on the road all the time. Do you drive? I get the Sunbury Motors car, but I don't think they let you go very far.
I'm very careful driving it, so I'm not looking around anywhere but hands at 10-2, straight ahead, safety first.
Got it. Yeah, I understand that completely. When I get back to the hotel Saturday night, yeah, I'll probably watch a little bit of it. And the reason being is that, you know, get back to the hotel Saturday night, it'll be an early night anyway because we got to be at the airport at 5.
Yeah, it's too late. I can't stay up that long.
Well, we have to leave for the airport at 5 a.m. on Sunday, so Because we're staying in Philly Saturday night, and we're going to fly out of there. December 21st, which is Monday, the Miami Beach Bowl. Western Kentucky against South Florida at 2:30 in the afternoon during the show.
Who in the world scheduled this game at 2:30 on a Monday afternoon? I realize you don't want to go against Monday Night Football. I get that, and you don't want to put it up against that. I get it.
Yeah, but the same network's carrying it, so they have to have a time slot.
Well,
for
you've got ESPN 2.
Well, it didn't make the cuts. It's going to be at Marlins Park in the afternoon.
Why not have it as the prelude to Monday Night Football?
I will have it on in the background as I do the show with you.
Yeah, I'll have it on the iPad.
As I do the show with you, I'll have it on in the background only because...
It's a football game.
Well, yeah, but when I'm doing the show with you, why not? And right. It's actually, when I do the show with you, it's going to be noon out there.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be gambling my life savings away.
Already did that. That's already
thanks, Pete Rose.
Anytime. All right, so now we get to the next day. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Akron, Utah State in Boise on the blue field. 3:30. Again, maybe in the background as I do the show with you for a little bit. The Boca Raton Bowls at 7 with Toledo against Temple.
I might watch the Boca Bowl.
I probably will watch a little bit of it before I go over to the arena to do the game. We're on at 10 o'clock that night. December 23rd. It's a Wednesday. 4:30 in the afternoon. It is the Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego, Boise State, Northern Illinois.
I actually want to see this one. Unfortunately, it starts at 4:30. Again, dumb start time.
Okay. All right. I'd have flipped that with the GoDaddy Bowl, which is next. Georgia Southern, Bowling Green, Mobile, Alabama.
Eh.
I agree. Yeah. I have a basketball game right around that time anyway, so I wouldn't be watching it anyway. Even when I get back to the hotel, I think the game probably be over by the time I get back to the hotel. I have no shot at watching this. I've got a red eye back that lands in Philadelphia at about 8:30, 8:45 in the morning, and then I'm busing. So the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl, Middle Tennessee State, Western Michigan, noon.
You can borrow my iPad and you can watch it that way.
Au contraire, mon frere. All right.
I've got a few gigs of data you can use.
Now, 8 o'clock, Christmas Eve, I will watch this. After I'm done watching It's a Wonderful Life, I will watch this. The Hawaii Bowl, San Diego State against Cincinnati.
I might watch this. Yeah, I might watch it. I might watch it because I want to see San Diego State.
San Diego State has won 9 in a row. Their last loss was here at Beaver Stadium. So now after you go through Christmas, you get to December 26th. Now, there's an NFL game, by the way, that's opposite that game on the 24th. Can't remember who's in it, but there is.
Yeah, I saw it on NFL Network advertising.
Yeah, good luck to them. St. Petersburg Bowl on December 26th, UConn and Marshall. 11 a.m.
With all due respect to Marshall grad Doug Birdsong, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know my friend Doug will be watching it. I guarantee you that.
Well, of course he will. Hyundai Sun Bowl, Miami, Washington State, 2 o'clock, but that's on CBS.
CBS. No.
That's a good game, I think.
Yeah, I just...
That's a good game. Well, I like that game. I'll be honest with you. The 26th is going to be a total throttle down day for me. Getting back, taking the red eye back, trying to get back in the swing of things on Christmas Eve. I'll get back. I'll probably get back about 2. I'll be leaving for Mass at about 2:45, 3. Mass is at 4. Get back, get something to eat, maybe watch a little bit of the bowl game, try and stay awake a little bit. I probably will sleep in late Christmas Day. I got the whole day off, and I can tell you right now, there'll be no thought of a hint of work at all on Christmas. The 26th, I'm not going to do any work on the 26th either, so I may be a veg sitting there with my sons, who will both be in town, and of course, my son Chris already lives here, so it's, you know, three sons together watching the game.
By the way, good luck to Nebraska-UCLA in the Foster Farms Bowl going up against the Eagles and the Redskins in this neck of the woods. I don't see that getting a whole lot of ratings in this neck of the woods.
No, it will be. Yeah, I agree with that. But Foster Farms, in terms of a name brand matchup, got one.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Very quickly, Heart of Dallas Bowl, Washington Southern Miss, Cotton Bowl, 2 o'clock. Actually, 2:20. No. Pinstripe Bowl, Indiana Duke. 3:30 ABC. I'll watch some of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. That was one I actually have on my list to see all the way through.
5:45 Independence Bowl. Last Frank Beamer coach game, Virginia Tech Tulsa. I will watch some of it because of that. Foster Farms is at 9:15 at night.
Good luck.
Hey, what time's the NFL game, eh?
8:25.
Yeah, you'll still be able to see some of it. UCLA, Nebraska. I'm going to watch a little bit of it. Right. We'll take a look at the rest of the bowls in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Very quickly now. Military Bowl, Pitt Navy.
That one I want to see.
Yeah, I'll watch that. Quick Lane Bowl, Central Michigan, Minnesota. No.
Yeah.
That's again, Monday Night Football takes precedent there, and that's why they start at 5. Armed Forces Bowl, Cal Air Force of the 29th.
Eh.
Russell Athletic, North Carolina Baylor.
Yes, that one I want to see.
Yep, good game. Good game. I mean, I think I'm at Maryland in time to watch that game because I think we're leaving at 1. Arizona Bowl, Nevada, Colorado State.
Eh.
Texas Bowl, LSU, Texas Tech.
Not really.
Oh, my God, the contrast in styles. That's an absolute watch. Absolutely. LSU, awesome defense. Awesome defense, hard-hitting. Texas Tech throw the ball everywhere. 30th, Birmingham Bowl, Auburn, Memphis.
No, I got nothing on that one.
Belk Bowl, NC State, Mississippi State.
I got a basketball game.
Music City Bowl, A&M, Louisville.
I don't know. I might watch that one.
All right. Holiday Bowl's at 10:30, but it's USC, Wisconsin. I am definitely watching that on the I should be back from Maryland in time for that.
I want to, but there is no way I'm going to be able to keep my eyes open until halftime even.
Okay. I fly to Jacksonville the morning of the 31st, but I get there in time. Peach Bowl, Houston, Florida State.
Yes, definitely want to see that one.
Oklahoma, Clemson.
I'll probably see part of it.
It's the semifinal game, you know.
I understand, but it's on the day that I think is a bad idea.
It's at 4 in the afternoon.
I got stuff to do.
Oh, brother. Michigan State, Alabama.
Nope. Yes, I'm going to watch bits and pieces while I'm at my party. That'll be about it.
No, Jack and I we're going to watch the game together at a bar. We already worked it out. Outback Bowl, Northwestern Tennessee, New Year's Day.
Nah.
Citrus Bowl, Michigan, Florida.
Yes.
Fiesta Bowl, Notre Dame, Ohio State.
That might be the best. That one I will watch as the primary.
Rose Bowl, Stanford, Iowa.
Yeah, just because it's the Rose Bowl.
Sugar Bowl, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss.
Yeah, maybe.
Tax Slayer Bowl you'll watch.
Of course.
Liberty Bowl, Kansas State, Arkansas.
Skip it.
Alamo Bowl, Oregon, TCU.
Skip it.
How about a plane? Cactus Bowl, West Virginia, Arizona State.
Skip it.
National Championship Game.
Yeah, that one I'll watch.
Yeah, but that takes place 10 days after New Year's. I thought you don't watch any games after New Year's.
National Championship Game is not a bowl game.
Really?
It's called a loophole.
That's all you have in your rules are loopholes.
But I'm consistent. I'm only watching Penn State after January 1st.
You're going to watch the January 11th game.
It's not a bowl game.
Really?